right, thank you. I'd like to call to order on March the 18th, 2015, for Van County Board of Supervisors meeting. Let's have a pledge and a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. County Administrator's report.
We can say that to the regular session, Ms. Corker.
Okay. All right.
So, a couple things on budget. Go to the next slide, Marianne. We've got some potential problems on vehicle license fees. There are some conflicting, maybe not conflicting, in my mind, conflicting language between state code. And so, I'm not positive at this point, and I'm waiting to call more callback from the state on whether or not we can change the fees or not. Go to the next slide, please. This language, which is cited in everybody's code ordinance, including our code ordinance, it's the only code cited, and in every ordinance I could find online from other counties, only cites that code ordinance in the top right-hand corner, 46.2 tax 752. And in that one, there's a sentence in red down below. It says the amount of the license fee or tax imposed by any county, city, or town on any motor vehicle, trailer, or semi-trailer shall not be greater than the annual or one-year fee imposed by the Commonwealth on the same. So go back to the other one, Mariana. The problem is there is another, just a page up. The problem is there is another code section, although it's not cited in any of the code ordinances in any county. It says here's what the annual registration fees are for those things based on what the state. Now, it does have a contingent expiration date, which I'm assuming means it fluctuates depending on what's adopted or approved. Or
what that means in this case is that there was a statute. The statute existed, and there was another statute amending it, adopted, but it was adopted contingent upon certain other things happening, which, as far as I know, haven't happened. So this remains the law until that happens. The other one, I think, significantly lowers the maximum fee. So this is the current.
What are the number of cars that would fall under the $33 versus the $38 rule?
Well, that's
most.
One of the issues here is our ordinance doesn't make this distinction between the lightweight and the heavyweight cars. It only has the figure for the lightweight cars. If you were going to, you could make that distinction, but you'd have to amend the ordinance to do so.
Right.
Now, I don't necessarily agree. I mean, our county attorney has to help us make that decision, but we've checked lots of other county ordinances, checked the state website, talked to Weldon Cooper, and the language people seem to be falling on is that you can have whatever rate you want as long as it doesn't exceed the state posted rate. Now, the state posted, click the DMV one, please. The state posted rate for motor vehicles is $40.75. Now, the latest edition of the Weldon Cooper book, we were looking at the 13 book, it said it was $33 plus $4.25 plus $150 was the max the state could charge. The new one says $33 plus $6.25 plus $1.50, which equates to the $40.75, which is the max the state can charge right now. There are many counties, not many, well, there are lots of counties that have motorcycle and or vehicle fees that are above the 33 and the 18 for motorcycles, and none of them cite that 694, they all cite 752. So while I agree with Mr. Payne that you have to have something specific that says you can do it, I don't know if it's going to require an attorney general decision or if the DMV policy office gets back to me. They're supposed to call back. I talked to the assistant commissioner today. They're going to call back and give us information. We're going to try to run it to ground, but I don't know what that means, other than I don't know if we have the authority to go above 33 and 18. Clearly, this is what some people in other parts of the Commonwealth are going after, because there are dozens of examples of counties that, counties, cities, or towns that are above either the car or the motorcycle or both, as said in 694. So you can close that one, Marianne, please. And just click on the top, way up top. Keep going up, yeah, up there. That's good. Okay. So that 694 one, that's this one. It says 33 for private passenger, 38 for this, this price for this, this price for this, this price for that. But next page, please. But this code section, which is the one cited by everyone I could find in the Commonwealth, doesn't have that such prohibition. Now, the other thing that, hit escape, please, and go to the top directory. No, the directory that's open. The directory, the yellow folder.
Oh.
The first one. And go to vehicle license fee, that tab that one's clicked on right now, and open the that motor vehicle highlights one. So in the current edition, you can slide that up a little bit, please. So in the current edition from Weldon Cooper, they publish a local tax comparison, and kind of they recite the state rules. They cite the local tax comparisons in there. This is the newest edition. And they say that based on the state code, here's what the maximum fees are, but the state can charge up to $40.75, and for a motorcycle, $28.75, because they add the $625 and the $150 to it. Now their language, and again, Walden Cooper doesn't set law, but their language says the limit on the local license tax includes all state taxes. For example, the limit of a vehicle less than 4,000 pounds is $40.75. $33, the base fee, which is another code, $625 and $150. And the example they give is this year, one county, Halifax, reported levying the maximum amount permitted. Halifax currently has $40.75. Last year, close that one, please. Last year, the one above it, that one. Go down, please. And last year, where the green is, it said the same thing, but then the examples it gave, it said so far, two localities, Pennsylvania County, in the town of Gretna, have reached this limit, which was $38.75. But many others at the time were already above the $33. And they say Albemarle County is one approaching. Well, that's because Albemarle County was at $38.50, like they are still now. So I understand Mr. Payne's point that you kind of have a positive law that tells you can prohibits it. And nothing I can find uses anything but 752, that code. But there is that code 694 that has those fees in. So I don't know what to tell you other than we're waiting on the state to tell us whether it's possible. And it may require an attorney general decision. But even Chesterfield, Albemarle, Pennsylvania, Powhatan, I mean, all over the county, we have a whole long list that's highlighted. As a matter of fact, click out of that one and go to the one below it and just scroll down. Keep going. So you can see all the ones that are in yellow, keep going,
mm-hmm.
are all ones that are above the 18 and the 33, which makes me think they're interpreting it like 752. Weldon Cooper seems to think it's that way. The person who could answer the question, Weldon Cooper, wasn't there today. The state the assistant commissioner of state DMV for policy, I'm waiting for them to get back to me. She emailed back and said, here's the specific point of contact, and he's going to contact me, but in the absence of positive movement, I'm not sure what we can do or what you would recommend. So
let me tell you what my view of this is. These two statutes are not separate. The 752 is the one that you saw that authorizes the county to impose the license fee or tax. That's the way it's described. And if you recall, where this came from was traditionally, for many years, the county had the authority to require a local license tax, and that's what you had. Initially, you had little aluminum plates that you put on your car, and then in more recent years, we used the stickers, and then a couple of years ago, we, like practically everybody else, abolished the stickers just because it saves money, it's more environmentally appropriate, et cetera. The other statute that Mr. Nichols referred to is 46.2-2 $694. There's also another one, 694.1, that's,
right.
that's for trailers. But 694 is the one that deals with most different kinds of vehicles. It is the statute that sets the fees that DMV can charge for registration. Now, if you notice, what it does, well, you won't notice unless you read the thing in detail. You probably don't want to do that. But the first number of these paragraphs relates directly to registration. What's happened with this statute is over time, there's different kinds of vehicles like taxis and semi-trailers and motorhomes and things like that. But over time, what's happened is that the statute has been added to from time to time. And what it does is it sets the registration fee in these earlier sections, and I think it goes down to 13 or something, or 12, it goes 1 through 12 of the registration fee. The next subsections in this are not registration fees. They're special purpose taxes. So, for example, in this number 13 that you can see there, it's $4.25 for each pickup or panel truck under subdivisions 1 through 12, which is the previous section.
And it's actually 6.625 now. It just hasn't been updated in the state code there, but it's 6.25.
Well, but anyway, don't worry about the dollar figure. The point is there is a dollar figure, but look what it says. All funds collected from $4 of the $4.25 shall be paid into the state treasury and shall be set aside as a special fund only for emergency services. And then the other 25 cents, it goes into great detail about where that goes. But it's very specific about where the money's to go. Now, there are several other statutes that are like this. I think it's a dollar and a half inspection fee to the DMV, and there's $2 for something else and things like that. It's my opinion that 752 refers to the registration fees. It does not refer to the special purpose fees. Another reading of it would be to say you can use those special purpose fees and add them up. But if you do, you have to use the incremental amount for those purposes and those purposes only, because that's what the statute says. Now, there is another argument that you can, that as articulated by Weldon Cooper, that, well, you know, if dollar's a dollar, you can add them all up and that's what you go for. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you couldn't argue any of those positions. What I will tell you is that I think this is a high-risk venture, because if the county assesses a tax and it's unlawful, then if it were determined to be unlawful, we'd have to refund all that tax. Now, the bad thing is that I think there's a good argument that can be made. In fact, I think it's the better argument. That if the court found that that tax ordinance was unlawful, it would void the ordinance altogether, and you couldn't even collect the part that was in argument. So what I'm telling you is that my opinion could be wrong. My opinion is conservative. Let's put it this way. I would much rather, if there's a question about whether you can do it or not do it, I will consistently advise you to do what we know we can do. If there's something that you may be able to do, but I think there's a substantial argument the other way, and in this case I think there is, I would advise you not to do it that way unless there were some very substantial benefit to be gained from. Now, my attempt since this has come up, it's only come up in the last day or so, my view of this is not a question of determining who's right. This is a question of solving this problem.
The law.
And, well, I don't care. What I think is the appropriate thing to do is simply to assume the most conservative reading of the law, as long as we can solve the problem in another way. And we can. So what I would advise you to do is not to assume that these counties are right. Now, I will tell you that Mr. Nichols is right. There are a lot of counties that do that. There's a substantial number of localities that do this. Now, I can tell you, for example, the city of Charlottesville doesn't do it. Its figures are, and I happen to be looking at my registration, and it for an ordinary car charges $33.75. I don't know where the 75 comes from, but it's $33 basically. We have documentation that a number of other counties do conform to that maximum, and they Chesterfield I think has recently changed, but Fairfax and Arlington, for example, conform to the lower figure. And in fact, we have my assistant found a set of minutes from the Arlington County Board of Supervisors where the county attorney advised them that it was $33 period. So I won't tell you that there isn't a difference of opinion on this. There is. But I view this as a relatively small benefit, and particularly a benefit it's a relatively small benefit, but a substantial risk. And I will tell you that I am sure that we can make up that benefit in a different way that doesn't run any risk at all. It's more difficult, and it's more administrative difficulty, but legally it's you've always heard me say there ain't no such thing as a lead pipe cinch in the law. There isn't. But this is as close to being unassailable as I can think there is. It's just another way to do it. Now, I asked Mr. Dahl to get some figures on that, and I assume he's got them. But I'm never going to advise you to take a substantial risk unless you have a very large benefit to reach for. And that is not the case here.
How long have other counties been using fees above the amount here? Do we know that? And are there any cases?
At least 4 or 5 years
that have been brought up with this specific
requirement. We couldn't find any cases where they were challenged, which is not a big surprise because right. if the maximum is actually 33 and you're being billed 38, you probably don't even notice it. And if you do, are you going to sue your county for $5? Most people are not.
But millions of people that would be affected here, and presumably some smart lawyer might have caught the wind of that and decided he wants to do some class action lawsuit.
Class action is not available in Virginia. Okay. And that's you're right. If class actions were available in Virginia, that might be a greater possibility. Probably there is somebody out there that would sue the county for $5. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that if he sued the county for $5 at circuit court, he would lose. Because the statute says the circuit court cannot grant a judgment for less than $100. So he'd have to sue in the district.
And then let's say that the courts, let's say it went to court pursuing the same argument. Court's fine, it's not okay, and they say, hey, you have to go back and refund that. Is that a refund on everybody who brings a charge against it, or a refund? If there's no class action suit and they throw it out, usually on things like this, they don't tend to be retroactive, right?
Well, yeah, but let's assume that Mr. X comes in and says, you charged me $40 and you're limited to 33. And he goes into court and he wins. And so he gets, the court orders the refund of this. That is not technically binding on anybody else. I've never seen the county take the position that the taxpayer has been judicially determined to be right, and you're not going to treat everybody else the same way. But if you decided to do that, you'd simply be in a position where Mr. Y comes in and says, Judge, this is what you did for Mr. X. I'm similarly situated. You could be faced with a series of cases. It may never happen. Nobody may ever challenge it. But why run the risk if you don't have to?
So, but they make clear distinction on fees, emergency service fees and another fee, that are pretty unique. I mean they're very clear, they're not unique, but they're very clear that are a different fee, and there's different regulations that apply to them. And it seems like there's also, many counties that are following the weight limits and adjusting based on weight limits. So
that's
I think there's a lot of people that have worked for this problem.
Weight limits are a different issue.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying that.
Well, that's the reason I bring that up is because that's one way to solve this problem.
Right.
Is tier the do the same thing that the Commonwealth does, and that is tier the vehicles by weight. And Albemarle does do that. So that Albemarle comes, has a, I forget what their numbers are, I've got them written.
It's under 4,000, under and above 4,000.
Right, so they have, if you have a small car in Albemarle, you start with the 33 and then add these other things to it. If you have a pickup truck or a Suburban or something like that, you start with the 38 and go up.
They're at 38.50 and 43.50 currently for those rates.
And the language on whatever the section was, 4572, then refers to the collection of the emergency services fee being sent back to the state treasury.
It does not.
No.
I thought that's what it said.
It does, no, that's not 694. Well, that's for state fees.
That's the point. 752 simply says the county cannot assess a fee or license tax which is greater than the fee established by the Commonwealth. And that refers to six, it doesn't specifically, but it actually refers to 694.
Which is a $33 fee.
Right.
$6.50 fee.
Right.
The more likely challenge is against the fees for the emergency service. I mean, you would follow that same logic and say, yeah, you could be charged in this methodology, but if you're questioning the $6.50 fee, then that's, you know, that's for the court to decide whether that is inclusive or not included at all.
Right? That's right. Now, one thing I guess you could do is you could say, and let's just take this one fee, this $6.25 or $4.25, whatever it is, and you could say we're only going to assess that, but we're going to sequester that money and use it only for that purpose. I don't think that saves you, but it's one argument that you could make that would save.
So let me give you a couple alternatives here. First of all, there's not a county code or a city code or a town code in the Commonwealth that I could find in my research, again, not perfect, but in my research, where any one of them referred to 694, which is the one that lists the state number. 752, which every single code cited, doesn't refer to 694. Now, again, I'm not suggesting that the county attorney is wrong on that. I just think that there seems to be a weight of evidence that either a lot of people are doing it wrong, or the rules just need to be more clear. Like Weldon Cooper tried to make it. Please open the Weldon Cooper one, the one that says with highlights. With highlights. And go down to the yellow section.
You could. Yeah,
keep going. So the limit, well, that's that language where it says the limit on local license tax includes all state taxes. Now, that seems to be clear. Now, again, Weldon Cooper doesn't set law, but I think they and others have been interpreted that way. So the alternative, what I would suggest now, is I don't think you should be fiddling with trying to put a tiered system in. I don't think you should be fiddling with trying to add trailers now at the last minute, trying to get the ordinance right to do that, the code change. I think there's a reasonable chance, in my view anyway, that we're going to find the answer to this, and it's going to be in our favor. If it is, fine. Then you enact the ordinance later in the year, and you pull the revenue in, and you put it back in fund balance. I would suggest we put a 100K wedge here for this. I would suggest you fill that wedge with fund balance. It's not repeatable money, but you only do it this year to fill that budget hole. And if you enact that ordinance later on in the year to increase it, then that money just goes back to fund balance, and it would just carry forward in the future. That way you don't have to go back and revisit this budget and try to change 50,000 things at the last minute. And again, there's just so much weight of evidence that lots of people have done this.
Let me respond to that, because first of all, that's not true. There is evidence that other people do it the other way. They did, and they have a rationale for it, and they might be right, but they are not a majority. They're probably not a plurality. There are a number that do, a number that don't. There's a clear disagreement about it. Mr. Dahl was kind enough to go to Albemarle and ask them what their rationale was. And their rationale was, we added these other things, the $4.25 and the $2 and that kind of stuff. We added that on there. Clearly that's the argument they're making. To my knowledge, it has not been litigated. So it is not a fair statement to say that that's the weight of evidence. There is evidence that people, some people do take that position. The second thing is that we are not going to get a definitive answer, because there is only one and only one way to get a definitive answer to a question like this, and that is court decision. And it would have to be either from our circuit court or from the Supreme Court.
Why can't we get an AG decision on it?
We can get an attorney general opinion, conceivably. I don't know what that would be. But the problem is that's not binding. That's an advisory opinion only. Now, Weldon Cooper, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I respect their what they do and their statistical work and things like that. But that's just another lawyer. That's just his opinion, whatever it is, or her opinion, whatever it is. So if you want to get a definitive answer, the only way to do it is to go to court.
And to go to court, someone has to sue for $5 if they can't do it.
We could
sue. As a class action.
The county could sue.
The county can sue itself for its own.
No, wouldn't sue. What would do is it would sue a taxpayer.
We would sue the taxpayer.
Mr. Weaver looks like a good trial defendant.
We're going to sue him for
$5.
$5? Yeah. They can't sue us for $5,
is what you're saying. They can sue us, but they can't sue us in circuit court.
So
a minimum recovery.
It would cost you more money than
again. You don't have a lot of time unless you want to back the process up. You, to my view, you have reasonably set what you all collectively worked on last week hard to put a budget together. You've still got that there. You can fill that same 100K gap without taking a risk with the statute by using fund balance temporarily. Now, I would never recommend you use the fund balance on any kind of recurring basis for an operating budget. That's not the intended purpose. But you do have sufficient resources there to do that, even after you've taken care of this year's CIP. And if you don't, you're going to have to then start, we're going to have to start dissecting the budget to start pull things down.
I agree with what you're saying. And we have the option of both tiering based on weight limits, and the option of
adding trailers. Sure. And if you do that later in the year,
we can do that.
You could still probably get that to equate to near 100,000 that would cover the gap. That would, you would probably all want it to go back to fund balance to cover, but it would just be extra revenue. The county attorney is much smarter than this. I'm just looking at it for a practical.
Well, it's his job to say, you know, you should operate on abundance of caution. I appreciate that.
I just wanted to say yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what
a lawyer said.
He said if he didn't give him the opinion he wanted, he'd make him come to this meeting. Almost changed my opinion.
And I appreciate your point about if we weigh in favor of one, then we weigh in favor of all. But I think this is, as you pointed out, a larger decision, and you know, would be something that you would return for that year when that's what you
use. I think put in your wedge. Keep on going.
So let me show you where we're at, because a couple things have changed since last week, and we'll show you where you're at, what options you have. So last week when you ended, you had 41,031. Are you open? Oh, I'm sorry. Close that. I opened 7. Close the man. You open, go up to the top. And bottom one. I'm sorry. Go to the top.
Go ahead. You know.
I couldn't turn your damn thing on.
It's because you have one.
Yeah, so okay, and then go to make it a little smaller. All right. Go to 80. Okay, so last week you had 0 here.
Okay.
You were balanced at 89.9, 435, and then the two $5 increases on vehicles and on motorcycles.
Okay. And behind door number 2
still 41.
41 and
30. I thought we were almost 50 short.
No. At the end of the night, we were 0.
Well,
it was his job.
When you adjusted back and forth all week when we did that, we got the 41.
Right.
We can pull 6 to see that one. Yeah. But in any case, what you've got left now, counting the 100 for the vehicles, is 52.1. Now, forget this for a minute. That's all built in there. Let's go to the budget balance worksheet. That's the one you got in front of you. So go to the red tab. Okay. So, yeah, make it smaller. One more. Okay. So now, this column was a member of the county administrator's budget. Mm-hmm. This is the changes you made to it. And slide it over a little bit.
Oh, my goodness.
So, these two dollar values go over the top, please. These two dollar values. The expenses that you put in, additional costs for departments that you funded things, and additional revenues we had by changing
tax rates and other things that have happened this week equates to the same 52,157. So right now, based on all the changes that have happened and us taking your changes from last week and solidifying them, not just, you know, we think it's going to be 86,000 and it was 86,257, fixing that, that's what we've got now. So slide off to the right, please.
Does that include the jail difference?
No, I'll get there. We've still got some problems here, so keep going. That's good. Now double click this one.
Please. And that on Mr. Olenbro.
Yeah.
Okay.
Problem.
So now, on that sheet on the right-hand side, you've got a red column and a green column. Mm-hmm. The red column and the green column is what you changed last week to get to the 52 excess. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you slide down, please. So you slide down, that's that same 52 down on the page. So these were all your changes, and this is what it left, 52 to the plus. Now, you got two structural problems here. Let's assume the 52 is money you could do something with tonight, so let's set that aside for you. But you got two structural problems. You've got the 100K for the vehicle fees. If you choose to put fund balance in, we'll just drop the 100K in there from fund balance instead of that. That solves that problem. Go up to the top, please. The second problem is the jail, the adopted budget from the Central Virginia Regional Jail is $106,192 higher than what's in your budget right now. Now, you've got two choices. You can either find money and put it in there, or you can ignore this and expect that the budget's going to change. Now, that requires some discussion later on tonight, and so you probably can't decide that right this very second, although if we get done here soon enough, I would recommend you go to your closed session while you're having dinner before you go over, because then you can cover the things you need. But anyway, I think you've got two options here. Either find $106,000 to put it in here, maybe just fund balance again as a temporary placeholder, or you just ignore this because you think that budget is going to be changed. And I'll talk the ramifications of those things. Now, we had a teleconference about this morning too, so. So let's assume we can resolve that, and let's assume you can resolve the 100K over here on the vehicle fees. So let's assume those are fixed. Go down.
And so we could, and just a quick point, I mean, sure. We could use contingency funds, and we would know that well in advance of the use of those contingency funds anyhow, if that came out the other way, instead of worrying about fund balance one way or another.
What do you mean?
Don't we put aside like 200K in contingency funds for the board?
I think you've got, the board has 150. You might have something up there.
And I'm just saying, timing-wise, we'll kind of know.
In any case, you could cover it in there. I don't think there's a reason why you can't find $100,000. For sure, you always have it in your bank account. Now, you may want to put it right back in your bank account. For sure, you've got some contingency built in your budget. But remember, this is a pretty lean budget, so you don't want to have too many risks hanging out there.
That's another one then.
150. So it's 150 of the BOS contingency right now.
It's got to be correct.
It's got to be correct.
Well, and I'm pretty sure of that too. I'll give you my updates later on, and then Mr. Allenbrock and the sheriff can give you their updates too. But we kind of have to, something I'd love to do in close up. So go down, slide this up a little bit higher. A little more. Okay, so there. So let's assume we have 52K left. The first choice you got is put it back in the bank and change the budget to decrease $52,000 of excess. So you put it back in the bank. If you choose to leave the budget as is, the 89,9435, no change on the vehicle fees, you have $52,157 from the adjustments that you did last week. When we figured out all the final numbers on all the things you changed, that's the excess. Now, you clearly could do some things with it. You could take the staff to a 2% across the board raise, but that would cost, click here. It would cost somewhere between 61 and out to the side and 37. So theoretically you could do September 1st a 2% raise instead of the 1% raise that's built in. Just one option. And these numbers are these are more refined. Ms. Parrish put these numbers together now. Smooth them down even more, so we don't need quite as much. Let's go back to here. You could do a 1.5% across the board. Look back. And it would go on that slide. And it would be somewhere between all of that. So it would be somewhere between $25,000 and out to the side, September, and $6,000 if you do it in September. The reason we're suggesting potentially September is because all the constitutional officer money is September 1st. All the DSS money is September 1st. It really starts August 23rd, and that's when it starts. So if you just put everybody in the same field, those are the dollars. So go back to here. Now, those are just two staff options. You can put the money in the Capital Reserve Maintenance Fund, because remember, we cut both the counties and the schools Capital Reserve Maintenance Fund. Normally they're 200 and 200. You took them to 100 and 125. You could fund the kitchen for cooperative extension. You could fund the sheriff's vehicle instead of putting it in taking out the fund balance. You could put it back in the budget and take it out of cash. These other things, these are just things that you talked about last week that you end up did not putting in. So these are a list of things you could potentially do.
Why do you have to spend it?
You don't have to, Mr. Rue. The very first one
I said. It amazes me we had $25,000 or $52,000 extra. So here's where we can spend it.
No, sir. The first thing I said was you could put that right back in your fund balance. But my job is to give you all the alternatives, and those are the alternatives that we know. I'm not suggesting any of those. I'm just telling you that you've got $52,000 based on this.
Everything else that we have a demand and a need for looks to me like that's already taken up for, basically. You know.
That's the board decision, sir. I'm just trying to show you all the
alternatives. Okay, I'm just putting my 2 cents in.
Yes, sir. So that's where you're at. But that presupposes that the $106,000 for the jail, you essentially ignore for now, and we'll talk about that, and that you use fund balance to fix the vehicle gap and then address the vehicle ordinance later this summer, whether you tier it, whether we find the legal authority to do the $5 or whatever. That gives us more time to draft that ordinance, check on the rules, get the stuff right. If you're going to tier it, that also means we have more work for the commissioner's office too, because if it becomes another level of complexity on that collection.
I don't mind.
But that's where you're at.
I don't mind giving any more to do.
More to do?
Oh. Yeah, that's right. He's a good guy to do that.
I know all the other items that are in there, but I don't recall the $8,000 volunteer training.
That was in the EMT budget, emergency services budget. That was just part of the one that wasn't funded. So I just put things that you've mentioned before. You mentioned economic development training and last year volunteer training. Some people mentioned the cooperative extension kitchen, the capital reserve maintenance fund. We already pulled it way down. These are just things that we're going to talk about. This one is still funded, but it's funded in fund balance rather than out of cash in the operating budget. So, and of course, the very first one is you can just balance the budget, take it down, put the 52 back in fund balance. Now, minimize that for a minute, please. And go to presentation, slide back over.
Guess we're going to the presentations.
Which one is here? Here, this one. And below that.
We could do these things. And then it's kind of all
over. Slide check out.
Kind of inclined for $6,000.
Asking for $6,000. That's not inclined. Close it down.
That would be
good. Hopefully, you got
it. If it's only service, it's more symbolic. The G was.
Okay, so next.
You need $100,000.
Okay, so.
Why not? That's already happened.
We have some conversation over here. Do y'all want to wait on that until he finishes and then we'll y'all can talk about it?
I'll just show you the fund balance. So, yeah. So this is at the end of last year. If you adopt what you've already put in the CIP, this is where you'll be at with that CIP included in. So I'm not suggesting you want to take much more out of the green, but you've got $1.2 million there, which was a little better than we thought it was going to
be. Yeah,
it was. And so you've got, we thought it was maybe 700, 900.
Well, and the biggest piece of that too is the real estate and personal property. If we increase the rates, then that'll have
the
effect of the second half billing.
That 430 would go in, so it makes it a little higher.
Like I said, the items in red and green, those are just kind of estimates. You know, the
already subtracted all these to get down to that. So. Mm-hmm. So we back up one. So that's where you're at on the fund balance. So close that, please. Just to escape and close. back to spreadsheet. So that's where you're at.
Okay, what do you think?
The only thing I think is, since we're taking a couple things out of fund balance to make this work, and we all spent 5 hours weighing out our pros and cons the last meeting, and I think we came to a consensus. We're talking 52 grand. Let's put it back in fund balance, because it'll equalize somewhat what we've taken out and gamble.
As a wedge,
the wedges that were taken out.
100,000 for you have half of it right there.
I guess. Well, the only thing I'm saying is we came to a consensus.
No, and I agree, and I wouldn't want to change that consensus.
And so. I think doing the 52 grand now, put it back in the fund balance. It's people's money, and Mr. Weaver actually has a point. If it wasn't there, we wouldn't spend.
I would only add just to that point. And again, if it changes consensus, the only thing I would add is, it seemed to me that half percent raise at $6,000 on September is a very small number for us to do what might be a good morale movement. That would be the only suggestion I have, but I would not put that out there if it changes, the consensus.
So you're talking about taking the six and putting the difference to the 51,000.
Doing a 0.5% extra additional.
And putting the difference back in front.
But if that's going to change the consensus, I'm not pushing for it. So.
And putting the rest back in front.
You put 46 in front.
I have no other commitments.
I think that would be more appropriate than some of the others.
Oh, I see.
I'm not up to wrong.
So employees would have 1.5%.
As opposed to the other one, because you're leveraging part of the state.
Now, the alternative, Mr. Dahl suggested, so let's take this up to just zero that. Okay, now go down. Keep going down and blow it up. Blow it up. One more. Okay, so one more. If you take the $100,000 out, the revenue in there, you're $47,000 short. So if you didn't want to do anything else with that, you could say you could use 47 out of fund balance to balance the budget. And
as a wedge.
Instead of 50, you could do the opposite. Take the 100 out, not pull 100 out of fund balance, and just go down to 47. Now you got to pull 47
out of
fund
balance. To me, that makes sense. Clean cut.
The caveat from a staff point of view.
And we don't have to debate all this single stuff.
Indeed, but the caveat from a staff point of view is that the school system is getting 1.5 this year, thank goodness, on average. If you go to here and go to September 1st, so it would cost, now I'm not suggesting this isn't an additive future, but it would cost now $6,722 to change to a 1.5% starting September 1st.
How about if we take the $6,700 from the school budget?
Yeah, if that's in the working budget as it sits right now.
We just take, we have whatever, $750,000. If we make that $742,000 or whatever the number is.
I'm fine.
I can live with that.
I think that's fair to the staff. I would argue that maybe on that $141,000 VoIP system, you could save $6,000 if you wanted to. So, and I think we're going to find that money there pretty easily. So.
The only thing I said was that if you say 1% for schools and 1% for county this year, last year county got 3.
I know nothing's fair, but at least this one, right?
We'll work. We'll make it work.
This one's fair.
One more.
It's easy.
Okay, now, and minimize that one more time.
It's inconsistent.
Slide it back over.
Now we have that 52,000 sitting there later on.
Mr. Weaver likes that.
Yeah, I do like it.
Trust me.
That town where you're Mr. Weaver. That's how much we appreciate you working so hard with us.
Jared.
We all did.
Jared W.
Everybody, everybody gave us something. And that, I told somebody else, that's the fellow of us.
No, we already did.
Okay.
So now go down.
They weren't many.
Okay, so if you take the staff to a September 1st, 1.5%, that's at 6722.
Go to the top, please.
So you add 6722, you decrease school funding by 6722, there was 750 there. And you use fund balance, 47843, to take that to the gap up. And this went to zero. So now you're balanced on all those fronts. The only thing left to hang out there is that jail fund, but we really need to talk about that a little bit before you move. And at worst, you'd want to do that temporarily out of fund balance, is my recommendation.
I think you have a good situation.
Yep. So
if we adjust, the vehicles.
So we'll have to do a couple of fills on here to fix that quick, so you've got those numbers for when you go over there. But is that where you want to end up?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we got to do some paperwork too.
Okay.
So
yes.
My mission in life.
So you already fixed everything you said.
Okay. Five people saying yes to that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So my recommendation is that you go to closed session and dinner.
Okay.
Because bring your food. We're gonna need some time.
All right.
And then the staff can work on these numbers and get the paperwork set before we go over to the regular meeting.
Okay.
Who has the paper for closed session?
Kelly, you have it.
Right here, it's right.
She has.
I thought you had that tattooed to your arm.
I know.
We're all on the same page, right? Now
Tony over here has to memorize, you know. I'm going to let him have one time to run down through here. Memorize. Yeah, wait till you get about four or five changes on it to see how well you memorize it. Madam Chair, I move to Savannah County.
Wait.
That's all right.
The commissioner and the Commonwealth's attorney are being a little loud.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
We're about to change it as soon as you leave. Yeah, we are. You might want to just stand back at the door.
Well, my recommendation, I can't say that.
Okay.
Are we ready?
No. Well, yeah, you can read the motion.
Would you read the motion?
Go ahead. You're going to let me read? Can I read it now?
Yes, read the motion.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move the Savannah County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A.1. Section 2.2-3711A.3. You ought to have all this memorized by now. Section 2.2-3711A.6, Section 2.2-3711A.7 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purpose of discussing personnel, real estate, investment of funds, and legal matters.
Okay, we have a second. All right, it's motion by Mr. Weaver and second by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Did the sheriff stay here?
Yeah. I'm